What does it take to turn your heart towards God? In a world that we're bombarded with hardship and evil and challenges around us, how is God trying to get your attention? How is he trying to get my attention? Today we're starting a new series entitled Refocus from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And if you're here this morning and you've received one of our free Bibles that we give to those of you that would like a physical Bible, it's found on page 329. I encourage you to turn to that. And if you don't have a physical Bible, if you'd like one, following this service, go to the information table and we'll make sure that you have one. We have them for you. We believe in God's Word. We need to study God's Word. So that's why we're looking at Nehemiah. Now listen. What does an old ancient man who was a butler to the king have to teach you and me about life in this world? There are several principles that we can learn from this man, and as I have planned this series together, I'm reminded of our deep need to reconnect with God. So there's a couple of things I want you to see. You'll see that everything has a re in front of it, R-E, and it's got brackets around it, means do-over. God is in the business of taking our broken lives and giving us another chance. You've heard stories of that this morning. I could tell you stories of my own life of where God has taken me down a path where I have been broken deeply. No matter what you did this past summer or this past year, whether you've spent time strengthening your relationship with God or took a break, it's time for us to reconnect to God. And as you read this book, you will see that Nehemiah began by identifying his personal need for a renewed relationship with God. Next week, I'm going to give a little bit more of a context of the book of Nehemiah, but today I just want to get to where I want to go this morning. So if you want to know more about it, we'll talk about that a little bit next week. Just as Nehemiah, we must trust God to rebuild our brokenness in our lives, in our families, and in our world. Nehemiah teaches us that self-leadership is crucial for living an effective Christian life. In fact, if you want to know, there's two main themes in this book. You might want to write this on your notes. It's about prayer. There are 12 prayers in the 13 chapters in the book of Nehemiah. And the second theme is leadership. We see a leader here that knows how to lead, and we'll look into that as we go through this series together. He led himself, he led those around him to take the initiative to change the condition of their personal surroundings by leading themselves. And my prayer while preparing these messages is that you will take an honest look at the condition of your soul. Self-awareness of our need for God. Let me read the first three verses of Nehemiah. Chapter 1. In the words of Nehemiah, son of Hilkiah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was at the citadel of Susa, he's not at home. He was born and raised in exile. He's never been to Israel. He's never even been to Jerusalem. He is a servant of the king. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. What had happened here was because of the disobedience of God's people, God allowed them to go into exile. They were captive by another country, by another regime, and they had been away from Israel. But a little bit prior to this experience that we're reading about this morning, there were a few thousand that came back to rebuild the temple. That's what Ezra is all about. In fact, in the Hebrew book of the Old Testament, book of Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. We've separated them. Let me go on here. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fires. The second thing I want you to see here is that we're going to talk a lot about walls. And walls are basically symbolic about boundaries and structures. They symbolize boundaries and protection. A city with a wall around it had a form of protection. So why is this important? Nehemiah knew that the walls of his homeland were in ruins. They had been destroyed some 100 years before, and the people were living in shambles that were there, and they didn't even see it, or worse yet, they didn't want to see it. Would you agree with me that the world that we're living in is broken? How many would say, yeah, today the world is broken? Just spend some time on X, or spend some time on any social media platform, and you'll see a woman who took a baseball from a kid. Just horrible travesty. Got a lot of fame. That person now has been fired from their job because of their selfishness. War, famine, floods, homelessness, pain, broken lives, and of course, you understand your own experience. So what can Nehemiah teach us today? Three things. First of all, God works through people. God uses four individuals to bring about effective change and fulfill his plans. God's plan to rebuild a broken wall requires that we partner with him to complete his will. This is a part of God. There's a God part, and then there's our part, a people part. And God made a covenant with Abraham and David to establish his kingdom through the ages. And it can be best illustrated by looking to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. And you'll see this in your notes. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall. He's talking about the walls that we're talking about in Nehemiah. The walls of righteousness that guards the land. And I've searched for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one. You see, Nehemiah's response to God's prompting is this. Will he go? Everybody has a part to play. God uses people who understand these truths. Number one, you are not a throwaway. Even though the people of Israel messed up, and even though they turned their hearts away from the protection and provisions of God, God still had them dear in his heart. God is a God of covenant. He keeps his. And the problem is that you and I, we don't. This is the first key in relationship. The same is true for you this morning. Regardless of how far you have wandered away from the arms of God, he is here and he's longing to have you return and reach out to him. God uses people who redirect their hearts to the love of the Father, and God also uses each one of us this morning. Number two, he said that you're part of the body of Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, like each one of these four candidates this morning, you become part of his community. And that's why we meet each week, and that's why we get together to encourage one another, to support one another, to hear from God's word, and to serve one another. And thirdly, God is calling people who are willing to rebuild what has been torn down. God is inviting you to choose to repair what is broken and help others experience the same grace that you've received. Allow God to take the pain, the problems, and the hardships in your life to bring hope to others. You see, God works through, number one, people. Secondly, God works through broken-hearted people. What does it take to break your heart? What do you grieve over when you look at the things that are happening in this world? For you and me to be effective in rebuilding ourselves or others, we must be wrecked by the things that wreck the heart of God. Nehemiah was present in the fortress of Susa, but his heart was in Jerusalem. He had heard so much about it. Notice what happened to Nehemiah when he heard about the fact that this city was in ruins. Look at the next passage in your notes. It says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. Circle sat down. What do you think this means? He stopped what it was doing enough to ponder what he had just heard. When you hear bad news, most of us sit or fall to our knees. Most of us are too busy to let the bad news we hear break our hearts. We're too busy. We're consumed with our own issues. Have you ever said to someone, "Are you sitting down?" That's not always a good thing. When they ask you that question, write this down. Busyness is one way we medicate the shallowness of our lives. Ask yourself in a day, how much time do you spend alone without any noise? I go on walks every morning and every evening. I walk in parks, I walk on streets, I go past people all the time, and nobody responds to me. They are plugged in. They're not listening or looking at anybody else. How much time do you spend on your phone? How much time do you listen to music or watch TV? We're all doing things to silence the pain. Nehemiah stopped long enough to weep. What does this illustrate? Weeping connected to the pain of God. He was devastated by the condition of Jerusalem, but he also knew that God was deeply hurt by the shambles in which the people were living. We do not connect the dots that when the world is ravaged with the effects of sin, it grieves the heart of God. Unless you carry the pain of God, the miracle of action doesn't become a reality. He yearns for this world to be redeemed, and he seeks out people who will share his pain. And look at how we see on the back of your outline, restoration begins with brokenness. If we're going to allow God to start the rebuilding process in our lives, then we must be broken about our present condition. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, and for those of you that are working with me and we're reading through the Bible in the year, we just started the book of Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Woe to me, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." What's he talking about? He's talking about when he gets a picture of the holiness of God, he recognizes how unholy he is and how unholy the people that he's leading are. Revival begins when we gain a clear picture of God's holiness and our sinfulness. And then we can be used by God. And then God is calling broken people who will stand in the gap for others. Nehemiah was not content to deflect the plight of his fellow countrymen, but he had to get involved. And there are needs all around us. Who will stand in gap? Who will stand in the gap for those desperate needs? May it be said of the people of Circle Drive Alliance Church that we made a difference in this world, that we made a difference in this community, that we made a difference in the places where we work and where we live and where we play. But Nehemiah got involved. And I want you to also see the brokenness precedes building. We'll see that in a few chapters. God works through people, one, two broken-hearted people, and thirdly, broken-hearted praying people. Over the last few months of this year, God has spoken to me personally about raising up the standard of prayer in my own life and in the life of our church. The most demanding tasks require our most deliberate prayers. But notice Nehemiah's action after experiencing the pain of God. It says in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4, the latter part of verse 4, "In fact, for days I've mourned, I've fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven." Note the progression here. He mourned. He connected to the pain of God. Then he fasted. Then he prayed. How often do we rush into God's presence with our help wanted list? We blurt out our request, say thanks, and hope that God answers. When you read the next chapter, we may jump to the conclusion that when he stands before the king and he utters a very simple prayer, that's it. But when you understand this, a careful study of the timeline reveals that he performed these three things for 4 months. In verse 11, in the first 11 verses, it's a prayer. It's not a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants prayer zip line. It's a sit down, connect with the pain of God, and then allow this to smash his comfortable life. Consider with me very quickly these elements in returning to God. First of all, he mourned. He carried the pain of God. Israel was not in a proper relationship with Jehovah God. Israel had to choose to return to repent of their selfish, sinful life that God had given him a free will to choose him. And the people living in Jerusalem had been wandering in the ruins over 100 years, and they didn't even see the mess that they were in. Look at how Nehemiah enters the pain of God. Verse 6, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned, and we have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Many times in our lives, we become accustomed to the broken condition of our lives, and we become desensitized to our pain due to our hurriedness. I want to be Nehemiah today to you and say this. Can't you see the broken walls around you? Don't settle for your mediocre condition. Set your mindset to ask God to change the circumstances so that you can be a part of a church family that revives this city. He is longing to meet with you. He's longing to meet with us. Ask yourself this question. Where would God want to break me? Is there something that God is asking you to do that you're reluctant to submit to? Ask him to break your heart about what is breaking his heart, but don't stop there. He fasted. He hungered for something greater. Nehemiah understood that God had a greater purpose for the people of Israel. The greatest distraction to knowing God's best for us, listen to this. The greatest distraction to knowing God's best for us is the blessing of his goodness now. Fast. What's fasting? Well, intermittent fasting is quite popular right now, but it's all about losing weight. Don't confuse the two here. Fasting is not as much about food as it is about focus. Fasting is not so much about saying no to the body as it is saying yes to the spirit. Fasting is an outward response to an inward cry of the soul wanting more of Jesus. Most of us could go without a meal. It wouldn't even jar our system. But when you fast, ask this question, what would God want to show me? In what area of your life do you need God to show you his will or his direction? In your vocation, in your schooling, in your marriage, in your future, in your health? You may not be very far from God revealing his purposes to you, but you may just need to stop and listen for God's gentle whisper in your life. Then Nehemiah connected to the pain of God and began to hunger for a greater cause. And then thirdly, he prayed. He offered himself for God's greater purpose. You see, all prayer leads to commitment. As I gain a clear picture of who God is, and I don't take him for granted, but I also don't ask God for something instead, I offer myself to God for a greater purpose. Take time to read the prayer in this first chapter in Nehemiah, and take this model of this prayer and make it your own. And as you're praying for those needs, ask yourself the question, what would God have me do? You see, Nehemiah could have stayed in Susa. But look what he says in verse 11. Oh Lord, please hear my prayers. Listen to your prayer, to the prayers of those who are delighting and honoring you. Grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into your heart to be, put it in his heart to be kind to me. What was his greater purpose? To rebuild the walls. To raise his hand and say yes to God's design to call his people to return to God. But there was only one problem, and that's in the last sentence of this chapter. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Not an easy job to get out of. You're the most trusted. You're the man who spends the most time with the king, and you become a trusted advisor. In order for him to take leadership to rebuild the walls, he has to find favor with the king. And we'll look at that next week. God works through people. God works through broken-hearted people. And God works through broken-hearted praying people. Will you pray with me? Father God, we've just touched the surface of this book, especially this first chapter. But Lord, we read of a man who had a comfortable life, had a pretty good job, but yet when he heard the news of what was happening to his people, in a place he'd never been, it broke his heart. Father, I don't know where people are this morning with you who are here this morning in our service or watching online. But God, I know through the testimonies of our singing, through the testimonies of our baptismal candidates, and through your word today, you are speaking loudly to us that you want us to seek after you. And thank God that you use broken people. Because that's all we are, is broken people. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak and take the words that I've shared this morning, and Holy Spirit, throw stuff away that doesn't impact our lives, but allow the rest to penetrate us deeply, to want to know you more, to put up our hand to say yes to you, and to allow you to use us for the greater purposes that you've called us to be a part of here. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.